Just briefly just share with you about our relationship with the Holy Spirit, because there are three ways that we relate with the Holy Spirit. And the first one is that the Holy Spirit is with us. In John 14:17, it says, "The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you." Now, I've just put in brackets at the end of there the Greek word for being with, okay? That's called para, if you're interested in that sort of thing. And it means coming alongside of somebody. So when we are not Christians, the Holy Spirit is in the world working to convict the world of its need of Jesus Christ. He convicts us of our sin. And he is in the world with us. Now, just to show you this, I've got just something a little bit visual for this. So, he's with us. Just get rid of the dead fly that seems to have landed in there. Right. So, Holy Spirit, us. Where is he? He's with us, isn't he? But in that verse as well, it says that he also will be in you. So when we become a Christian and we become born again, God's Spirit is living inside of us. And the role when he lives in us, when he dwells in us, is to begin to change us into the image of Jesus Christ. It's begin to change our life. When Jesus is dwelling through his Spirit in us, our life begins to change. All of those fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness, they're all produced by the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us and lives with us inside. But you know, in this Acts reading, it talks, doesn't it? It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Now, I want you to think about those disciples. They'd been with Jesus for 3 years. Were they Christians? Was the Holy Spirit with them, in them, at that point? I want you to think about it. Now, some people will say, well, no, because Jesus was with them, so they didn't need the power of the Holy Spirit. But actually, in John 20, Jesus breathes upon the disciples. He breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And it's one of these things that's divided a lot of people for a lot of time, is like, when do people receive the Holy Spirit? My belief is, from what I understand of what God's word is, that in John 20, they received the Holy Spirit in that manner. The Holy Spirit came to dwell and to live inside of them. So what's this in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 then? "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Well, when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us, this is what God begins to do. What's it doing? It's overflowing. And actually, that is another experience to just being born again. Now, it's difficult sometimes to be able to explain all of this, because in John 3, didn't it? Jesus said the Spirit is like the wind. It goes wherever he wants. He works however he wants. And the good reason for that is because otherwise we package him up and put God in a little box and say, God works this way. And that's not actually really giving God all of the honour that he's due, is it, to say, that's the way you work, God. That's the way we expect you to work. Because God loves to surprise us, doesn't he, in the way that he actually does work. So what is this overflowing, this receiving the power of the Holy Spirit about? Well, quite simply, it's explained, isn't it? It says, so you will be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The empowering of the Holy Spirit is given for service. The Holy Spirit dwells within you for your character, for your relationship, so you can call him Abba Father. He's with the people in the world, constantly trying to show them Jesus and their need and their sin so that they maybe understand about him. I'm sure we've all experienced that, isn't it? I experienced the Holy Spirit in a nightclub, out clubbing, where God first spoke to me and said, this life is going to a dead end. You need to follow me. I wasn't a Christian, but the Spirit was still working to show me my life was a mess and I needed him. When I first became a Christian, God's Spirit dwelt inside of me. I felt a visible, tangible change. Now, I don't know how it is for you, but for some people, when they receive that power of the Holy Spirit, they go from being born again to overflowing in one step. I did. I was born again and then filled with the Holy Spirit with that powerful encounter, prayed in tongues, prophesied, and all those different things that were signs of his Spirit working in me. But that's not always the case. Just a couple of things to show you about this. In Acts chapter 8, so there was a persecution that happened. The gospel was going out into Samaria, the next place that it would be a witness. And Philip was preaching. He was preaching the gospel. People were coming to faith. They were believing in Jesus. Their lives were beginning to show some change. There was miracles happening. And everybody was really rejoicing. But it says that when the apostles heard about it, verse 14, they were in Jerusalem. They heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent Peter and John to them. And when they came down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. So were they Christians before that? Well, they were. But they needed the power of the Holy Spirit upon them, not just inside of them. It was something that was separate. Now, if you want to go to be very confused, Acts chapter 10, as we go through this, Cornelius, Peter has had a vision about that the gospel is for everybody, not just the Jewish people. So he ends up with a Roman knocking on his door straight away. That's like God, isn't it? Gives you a vision and then sends somebody around. And Peter goes to this man's house. He preaches the same gospel that Philip preached to him. It told him all about Jesus. And what actually happens, verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. And it says, those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many came with Peter because of the gift of the Holy Spirit that had been poured out onto the Gentiles too. They didn't lay hands on them. He hadn't planned it. So there's God at work, isn't it? When he chooses, he worked differently to how they would have expected. Peter would have probably doing his sermon. He's ready there to lay hands on them, to ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't wait. He just pours his Holy Spirit upon them. So it does look, doesn't it, like it's a separate thing that's needed for witness and for empowerment, for service. For some people that can take instantaneous, for some people it's weeks, and yet there will be some that it's years. There are some that it never happens in that way. In Acts chapter 19, the gospel has been taken to Ephesus, a city, a great big pagan city. And it was taken by a guy called Apollos. And he preaches to them the gospel. He shares with them what's needed about repentance from sin and all of those things. And then after a while, they're visited by somebody else who says, have you not heard of the Holy Spirit? And he says, well, no, we've not heard of that Holy Spirit. And a gap of about probably a year or more has been. And then when Paul comes, he lays hands upon them and they again receive the power of the Holy Spirit upon them. So you see three different instances, three different things in the way that God works. Well, I want to just kind of finish this off with thinking about us. And, you know, the point about Samson, the point about all of these people is that God wants everyday heroes. Every single one of you sat in here, according to what we've read, according to that story in Samson, God can use to change the world. God can use you to do incredible things for him. He could raise you up in an instant to see that thousands upon thousands of people came to know him. He could raise you up in an instant if his spirit came upon you in that way to do miracles. That is the power of God. And one thing that the church has lost for a long time is this idea that ordinary people make the difference. Not the pastors, not the evangelists, not the people on TV, but ordinary people like yourselves. Why? Are you, because you're anything special? No. But when the Holy Spirit of God empowers you for his service, he takes what's ordinary and makes it extraordinary. And as we begin to kind of think about our outward focus as a church, we have to learn this lesson, isn't it? That without that power of God that comes from above upon us, not just within us, then actually it's not going to happen. And without you lot being the everyday heroes that God wants, it's not going to happen either. Because that was always God's plan. That's why in the Old Testament, it was individuals, weren't it, that the Holy Spirit came upon for a specific task. What happens in the New Testament? What was the prophecy of Joel? Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Everybody, your young men will dream dreams. Your older men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. It was for everybody. And we've lost that, haven't we? As churches in this country, we have lost it. And one of the reasons why we've lost it, there's two or three things that I just want to mention. And the first one is that we've forgotten what the actual word says. If we want the power of God, then it says, you shall be my witnesses. Does that mean to say that God's not going to change your life or build you up or grow you in your Christian faith? No, it doesn't. His spirit is given to dwell within us for that. But if we want the empowerment of greater understanding from the Holy Spirit, then it is for witness. Because that is what will create a vacuum, isn't it? When we're giving the gifts and things that God gives us to use away. One of the things that's just so common in many, many places with many Christians, and it's one of the lies, is that we want more power so that we can keep it for ourselves, so that we are blessed, so that we understand God, so we can draw near to him in ecstatic worship, or we can have seen miracles, but it becomes selfish. We're driven by a need of me. But God actually says, I will pour out my spirit, my power, when you're willing to become a witness for him. That's when people see miracles. That's when people see God at work in these very, very, the ways that you see him through Acts, is that we need that. The second reason why often maybe we don't encounter God's spirit in that way is because later on, aren't we, we're told that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. What we do with them, with our personal life, what we do them with them, with the kind of substances and things that we put in, it pollutes the temple of God. And God's Spirit, He can't fill it to overflowing while our temple is being polluted. God's Spirit and sin do not live together very well in the same space. Yes, we're covered by righteousness and grace. Of course we are. Yes, God's still at work in us to try and build us up into the people He wants us to be. But if we want more, then being holy is such an important thing. Without it, what does some of the words say, doesn't it? Only those who have pure hearts and clean hands will see God, isn't it? And it's so true, isn't it? And if we want more of His Spirit, then we need to be prepared to be a witness and also prepared to be a clean and holy habitation for Him. So what are we going to do, isn't it? Well, we need actually just to begin to step out in faith, don't we? And understand some of those things for ourselves. But that's just the beginning, isn't it? God wants more, doesn't He, for us? Are we just starting out? Yeah. I've just got my toes dipped in the water. I'm trying to get my feet in. But finding I'm far from perfect and I need His help to do it, isn't it? God wants us to walk with Him. Walk with purity, with holiness. So He can direct us and lead us and take us on deeper into Him. Now I'm hoping some of the kids have done the word search. Have anybody finished some of it? They're having a go. Okay. Perhaps a couple of you want to come up and we'll do the verses anyway, because these guys need to hear these words. So if you've got them and you want to come up. Well done, Ethan. Fantastic. Right. Shall we have a look and see what you've got then? Right. Brilliant. Right. So you've got that one, haven't you? Right. Okay, so Ethan's got one from the Psalms. Do you want to read it or do you want me to read it, Ethan? You want me to read it? Okay. It says, I lift up my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Okay, well done, Ethan. We got
26
Oh, right, okay. Right, so you've got a great one, haven't you, which is Philippians. Do you want to come up and do you want to just say this one out? Yeah, Callum, you can. Well, you don't have to. I'll say it for you. Okay, Philippians 4, verse 13.
Do I have to say it?
Yeah, go on while you're here.
Okay. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Have you got that one? Yeah. But don't test it by going to the zoo and jumping in the lion's cage. Right, okay. Anybody got another one? Okay. Callum, what have you got? Romans 8, verse 37. Do you want to read that one out?
Yet in all these, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us.
Fantastic. What a truth that is. We are more than conquerors with God's Spirit upon us. Okay. Oh, fantastic. You've got very neat writing, haven't you? Right. Do you want to read that one out for us, Alana? Ephesians.
Yeah. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power.
Fantastic. Right. Daniel, do you want to come over here? Can you do the last one? Have you got the last one done? Yeah, of course you have. Okay, Daniel, what's the last one say?
I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being.
Amen. Fantastic things for us to take away and to know right deep in our hearts. Thank you very much, guys. Oh, Noah, have you not done one? No. Right, okay, Noah, which one shall we do? Oh, that one.
He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak.